Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Oh, are some people angry that I am criticizing the Democrats? Well, my advice to them is go get a good therapist, because we're not stopping. Good evening, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. And I know you're not stopping either. You're not stopping either, because we're surrounded by evil, as if that's something new to us as Christians, as believers in this Word of God. As if it's news to us that we're surrounded with evil, evil that must be rejected, evil that must be denounced, evil that must be pointed out. If we don't point it out, how do we know what to repent of? The Democrats, oh my goodness. You know, there is such a thing as an evil political party. There's such a thing as an evil institution, an evil organization, right? There's such things as evil corporations. Why can't there be such a thing as an evil political party? Some people are so brainwashed, and I'm talking about clergy too. There's clergy that are very brainwashed. I was communicating with some of them recently, although I really don't put it under the category of communication, because there's nothing going into their brain and nothing coming out. But, you know, you try anyway. It has the trappings of communication. Words are going back and forth. But the point is that they're so brainwashed that anything related to politics, you know, all of a sudden, there's no morality, there's no virtue, there's no sin, and there's no judgment. You can't say anything. Everything's got to be neutral. That's absurd. That's absurd. And you know, it's a false gospel too, because what does the true gospel say? That Jesus is Lord of all, everything, every aspect of our lives, and every aspect of the universe. Jesus is Lord of all. So therefore, what aspects of our lives can be subtracted from that lordship? And the answer is, of course, none. If he's Lord of everything, he's Lord of over everything we do, everything we choose, everything we say, everything we think about. Doesn't that include voting? Doesn't that include politics? Doesn't that include interacting with political parties? Now, some people are members of the Democrat Party. Tonight's the night to leave. Get out of it. Leave. A lot of people are leaving. We've been tracking this for years. I have a whole collection of testimonies that have been sent to me from people who this was years ago, this was before Blexit and other, you know, walk away movement and whatnot. Years ago, people sending me testimonies about why they were no longer Democrats. And it basically had to do with abortion. Because, of course, that's what they know me as a full-time leader in the pro-life movement. It basically had to do with abortion. But people are leaving the Democrat Party for a lot of other reasons. Just we got a guy by the name of Biden. I don't know if anybody really knows anything good about him. But he presided over a gay wedding in the vice presidential residence in the previous presidential term. What does he plan to do that if he becomes president? He planned to preside over gay weddings. Now, we have nothing against people who are identify themselves as gay. I mean, you know, many of us have friends or relatives or acquaintances. It's no judgment against them. It's nothing bad against them whatsoever. It's about a religious teaching about what marriage is. And here you've got a man that claims to be a Catholic. He's, like I said yesterday, he's no more Catholic than this wooden table that's sitting next to me here, because of the contradictions between his public positions and what the Catholic faith teaches those public positions need to be. But no, you have a lot of people who are recognizing that. And again, this is all about our religious beliefs and values. This is not stuff personal, you know, personal attacks against anybody. It's not, you know, it's not being judgmental of people either. We don't know what goes on in people's minds and hearts. We don't need to know. That's not our realm. You know, when Jesus says, do not judge, he meant do not judge the inner workings of a person's mind and heart and soul. I mean, my goodness, I don't even know that I understand my own inner workings of mind and heart and soul. I mean, that's the business of God. But what is our business and what we're commanded time and time again to do in the scriptures and through the teachings of the church is to judge the difference between right and wrong, the difference between what is in accordance with God's plan and what is not. And unless we can judge that, well, then how can we be virtuous and how can we do good and avoid evil if we can't tell the difference? So of course we know that certain things are right, certain things are wrong. And more people are seeing that the Democrat Party, all you have to do is read its platform, have embraced things that are wrong. So we want to pray tonight. Just want to pray with you for a few moments in reparation for the damage that this party does and continues to do and threatens to do in the future, damage to the founding principles of our nation, damage to the very concept of freedom, damage to religious freedom, damage to the right to life, damage to the unborn, damage to our economy, to our security, to our military, to our vets, to our trade deals, all the good things that President Trump has accomplished and the historic, unprecedented progress that he has made in numerous areas of public life and policy, the Democrat Party wants to destroy. You know, reparation is a spiritual concept. Somebody else has done evil, or we ourselves, but through our daily sins, do evil. Reparation means, Lord, I want to move things the other way, in the direction of good. Where damage has been done, I want to try to make up for it. Now, we can never make up for it on our own. That's God's work, once again. But we can do something, and God works through us and calls us to do some little bit, bringing some truth into the world, bringing some reconciliation, bringing some goodness, bringing some justice, bringing life. We can do it. We can bring into the world a lot of good where there may have been evil. By the way, let me pause here and say, can you help us right now expand our audience? Hit the share button on whatever platform you're watching us. Bring other people in. You can, we can do this to a certain extent. We're always trying to get our audience bigger, but you can do it. You can do it for us in a very powerful way. Sometimes one share will get 100 extra viewers to come in. Let other people know about the programming that you're seeing us on right now. So let's pray. Let's pray in reparation. Reparation for the damage done by the Democrat Party. Let us pray. God and Father of all, you govern the universe from one end to the other. All times and seasons obey your law. And every creature is subject to you. Your Son, Jesus Christ, is King of kings and Lord of lords. And we acknowledge him today as ruler of the kings of the earth. In his powerful name, bless the United States of America, a nation formed not by geography, but by principles. Starting with the truth that our rights come from you, O God, rather than from government. And that without obedience to you, we cannot find true liberty. Lord, protect our nation, not only from physical attacks, but from moral attacks. Deliver us from evil, not only in the form of earthquakes, floods, and storms, but especially in the form of false gospels that distort your plan for marriage and the family, that assault religious freedom with unjust restrictions, and that turn the violent destruction of unborn babies into a constitutionally protected choice. Give to us, your people, the grace to influence the course that our nation takes. Use us to return our nation to its founding principles. May we, as faithful citizens of heaven, always live as faithful citizens on earth. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now intercede for our nation's leaders. Lord, your word commands us to pray for all those in authority, that we may live our lives in peace. Hear us now as we beg your grace for all in public office. We intercede today for the President of the United States. Lord, bless Donald J. Trump and his team. Give them grace to always see your word and your will clearly, and the courage to make those changes necessary for the proper governance of our nation. For this we pray, Lord, bless our nation. We intercede, Lord, for the Congress of the United States. Grant us representatives and senators who will truly represent the values and the convictions on which America was built. For this we pray, Lord, bless our nation. We intercede today for the Supreme Court of the United States. Lord, make the justices aware that they are not supreme, and that we must always submit the Supreme Court of the United States to the Supreme Court of Jesus Christ. For this we pray, Lord, bless our nation. We intercede today for the federal and state courts of the United States. Lord, grant that those who serve as judges may seek what is right and just and hold fast to it when it is found. For this we pray, Lord, bless our nation. We intercede today for the state legislators of the United States. Lord, inspire them to take bold action to advance the ideals and values of this great nation. We pray, Lord, bless our nation. We intercede today for the voters of the United States. Lord, inspire them with clear thinking and courageous action. May they fulfill their duty to elect public servants who know the difference between serving the public and killing the public. For this we pray, Lord, bless our nation. And let us pray together, begging God's healing on a land damaged by Democrat policies, practices, and utter repudiation of what is good for America. Let us pray in reparation using the words that Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, friends, how are you doing? I know that we've got some comments coming in, and maybe we could see some of them, but how are you all doing? This has been a crazy time that we are living through. We don't know from day to day what in the world is going on or what's going to happen next. It's absolutely, it's just crazy. So it's a time for deeper prayer and stronger prayer than ever before, but also a time for stronger unity with one another than ever before. I can't stress this enough. I was on with Steve Bannon the other day. I don't know if some of you saw it. He's got his program, and we were talking, and he said to me, so what do the MAGA people need to be doing right now? And I said, well, first of all, we need to be educating other people about the accomplishments of President Trump. PromisesKept.com and other. So we have a website. Let me refer you to ours, ProLifePresident.com. And it's not only his pro-life accomplishments, but all his accomplishments in many, many other issues and areas. We need to be teaching people about the accomplishments of this president. I am you know, astonished at the lack of awareness, especially, of course, on the part of the critics of the president. And, you know, many of you have heard me say many times before, but it's good to say again. To the supporters of Joe Biden, I have never heard one of them answer this question. Name me your five favorite accomplishments of Joe Biden. Have you ever heard anybody answer that question? I know a lot of you have taken that question and tried it out on some of the Biden supporters. Of course, they've been so busy, they probably have exhausted themselves over these recent months just looking for him, first of all. But I mean, in fact, I haven't heard any of the Biden supporters that I've been in touch with even mention one. I'm being completely honest here. And I communicate with a lot of people. He served in federal office 11 times more the number of years, more than 11 times the number of years that President Trump has served in federal office. So it stands to reason that Biden's list of accomplishments should be at least 11 times longer than that of President Trump. Boy, oh boy, this is, you know, it's one of the most obvious weaknesses of the supporters of this man and of this party. One of the most obvious weaknesses. As far as the accomplishments of President Trump, we could go on all night talking about our favorite accomplishments. I don't know which one is my favorite. I jump for joy at all of them. Of course, I labor in the pro-life movement. It's my full-time work. So the pro-life accomplishments, of course, are the ones I pay first attention to. But in every area, strongest economy ever, strongest military, the Space Force. He didn't even campaign on that. That's something that he saw the need for once he went into office. And he said, hey, let's get it done. The Space Force. They're going to leave a lasting mark on our country, mark for good. Look at what he did for the vets. I'm sure many of you are veterans, and my goodness, VA choice and VA accountability. VA accountability, there were all sorts of people in the Veterans Administration that simply were not serving our vets. They weren't doing a good job. They were doing a horrible job. But under the previous rules, they couldn't fire them. He came in and he said, you're fired. Get them out of there. He got like 9,000 people out of the VA that were bad apples. VA accountability and VA choice. Instead of, you know, waiting on a long line for medical attention, and, you know, that's not very good. You know, you can get sicker that way or die. No, he said, go to the doctor of your choice and we'll take care of the bill. I mean, this makes so much sense. It's sort of like, I always think of that in line with also his achievement of the right to try. You're familiar with the right to try. President Trump comes in and he says, you know, we've got people who have serious terminal illnesses, but they don't qualify for certain experimental drugs. Why aren't we letting them try these experimental drugs? Oh, sir, well, they don't qualify. Yeah, but they're going to die anyway. Why can't we make an exception? Oh, well, sir, there might be a liability. Well, then have them sign a release that they won't be liable. In other words, President Trump, with his let's solve this problem, decisive, visionary spirit and mentality, got it done. Joe is saying also, with Trump, we can say Merry Christmas. I mean, yeah, and we are, and that has changed, hasn't it? You know, at the beginning of Obama administration, you know that song, Where Are You Christmas? We were singing Where Are You Christmas at the beginning of the Democrat Obama administration. Let's see what happens if Biden gets in. But the point is that even in the Christmas card at the beginning, as time went on, they said, oh, this is not very popular among the people. But it's like it was Christmas, but it wasn't Christmas. President Trump said enough with this political correctness. But you see him saying we're going to even campaigning on the fact that we're going to say Merry Christmas again. You see how that's part of that's the tip of an iceberg. The iceberg is he comes against political correctness all around, right? Clear across the board. He comes against the establishment. And he's not beholden. He doesn't let himself be beholden to special interest groups or wealthy donors. You know what he was saying during this campaign. He said, I could pick up the phone, get millions of dollars from people that are friends of mine and want to help me. He says, but I don't do that. You know why he doesn't do it, right? He says, because then a few months later, they're going to call me asking for a favor. And then I'm going to feel, you know, and this is a man who appreciates loyalty and reciprocity. And he said, I'm going to feel like in making my decisions as president, that I have to repay them. Now, you know who has a lot of those strings attached? I mean, can you imagine spending half a century in public life in America like Biden has done? You imagine all the people he feels beholden to? I mean, my gosh, the human mind probably can't even calculate all the strings that are attached. He must feel like he's, you know, he's completely constrained. You know, he can't move to the left or to the right or forward or backwards or up or down without, you know, failing to repay somebody for something that they did for him. What a, you know, you don't have the freedom of heart and mind to make the kind of decisions that are right for the American people. The one thing that President Trump always makes clear is his decisions are based on what is right and good for the American people, and he puts the period there. Certainly not what's right or good for him, as one of you was just saying. He gives away his salary. How many times has Biden done that? And again, another good question for the Biden supporters. Come on, guys. If they really do a really bad job supporting the guy that they support. They do. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen a worse job done by the supporters of any political candidate than the supporters of Biden. If I may, all due respect, you know, I never mean this against people personally, by the way. I try to respect everybody. But if I can talk to the Biden supporters as a group, you know, you guys have gotta do better. You know, wow, what a failure! I mean, it's embarrassing for all of us to see the kind of campaign that he conducted. Oh my gosh, I've never seen anything like it. And because there was nothing to see. There are going to be entire books written about all of this. We have witnessed something here, brothers and sisters, that just boggles the imagination. So you guys that support Biden, you know, you really do it. You're doing a terrible job. But come on, answer some of these questions, for goodness sake. Answer some of these questions. Five favorite cup, five. Now, hopes and wishes and dreams are not accomplishments. Promises are not accomplishments. Statements of, oh, here's what I believe. Those are not accomplishments. We're talking about actual, measurable, undeniable accomplishments. Come on, five favorite ones. So, we're going to continue to pray. You know, some people are, oh, they get so upset. And people in the church, this is what really, it makes me laugh every day. I mean, it makes me laugh. It entertains me. The people in the church who, some of them are priests like me. Some of them are just, you know, individual members of the church. Some of them are bishops. Oh, Father Frank, oh, this is so terrible. Some of them are fake Catholic news. You know, you got the fake news. You got the fake Catholic news, too. Oh, isn't this terrible? They're like apoplectic, falling over themselves. Father Frank is saying bad things about the Democrats. yeah, I got to laugh to myself. Do these people really have such shallow lives that that's all they can find to complain about? What I'm saying about the Democrats, I mean, these are supposed to be men and women of God. These are supposed to be people who are, some of them are in journalism. And listen, you guys are doing a pretty shallow and bad job at German journalism too. You know, there's a whole lot more going on in the world than what Father Frank has to say about the Democrats. But that's what they go apoplectic over. Why don't you do some reports on the historic peace accords that President Trump has brought about between Israel and the Arab nations? Why don't you spend your time reporting on that? Why don't you? You're not going to see any of that stuff coming out of Biden. But I mean, no. They go crazy. And you know what? Recently, some of these fake news people have even criticized prayers that I have said. Now, get this. Religious people writing to ostensibly other religious people, criticizing a priest for saying a prayer. I saw it. I didn't pay much attention because I was doing things that were a little bit more meaningful. But I just came across it briefly the other day in the midst of my activities. Oh, is this article? Father Frank said this prayer. Oh, and look what he said about the Democrats. Well, first of all, you're darn right. That's what I said about the Democrats. You're going to hear a whole lot more of it, too. They're wicked. They're evil. It's a corrupt party. They don't deserve a single dime of support. They don't deserve a single vote. And everyone who's a member of the Democratic Party needs to leave the party right now. Everyone who's an elected official of the Democratic Party needs to step down from that public office, like right now. And the party, we don't need it in America. We can't afford it, actually. Because it has left the company of those of us that love this country. They've left. They've abandoned, they've apostatized, to use a more religious term. They've apostatized from true patriotism, true love of America. And some people say, well, that's just your opinion. Darn right it is. And I have a right to express it. Oh, but no, see, that's what they can't, no, that's what they can't tolerate. Tolerable people as they are. Oh, yeah, we're tolerant. But they can't tolerate somebody expressing an opinion against their favorite party. No, it's a disgrace, brothers and sisters. It's a total disgrace what they do. And wait till you see what's going to happen in the midterms. Oh boy, oh boy. See, actually, those Democrats that don't want to step down from public office. Well, you know, the midterm elections, how come they did so poorly this time? You Biden supporters, you guys, that's a question you got to answer too. What did you guys vote for Biden and then vote for the Republicans for the House of Representatives? How did so many Republicans win in the House of Representatives? How did that happen? I don't even know how that happened. Republicans are strong. Republicans on the state level. Hey, let's tally up the Democrat victories on the state level in this election. People, you know, these folks aren't even paying attention. They don't even know what I'm talking about. Oh, the state elections? What are you talking about? They don't even know what I'm talking about. But on the state level, the state house, the Republicans have more trifectas than the Democrats do in the states. That is, more states where the Republicans control the House, the Senate, on the state legislative level, we're talking, and the governor's mansion. We have more than the Democrats do. We have more Republican state delegations than the Democrats do in the House of Representatives. I mean, what happened, guys? What happened? What did your people forget to vote on the state level? What happened? Where's all your strength? Where's the persuasiveness of your ideas? Where's the loyalty? Where's the enthusiasm? Where is it, guys? I'm asking. certainly not in evidence in anybody's count of how these elections went down. No, it's a joke, brothers and sisters. It's really a joke. Don't be deceived. Don't be fooled. Certainly don't be discouraged. Nothing to be worried about when it comes to the strength that is actually out there. Now, Clara's making a very good point. Pelosi, she's not a Catholic. You know, I wrote an open letter to her years ago, and you can find it at lettertonancy.com. I think this would be a good time for us to go back and look at that letter, but go ahead and look it up, lettertonancy.com. It talks about this very point and challenges her to, I mean, first of all, let me put this in context, you know, because people always ask me, as a priest, you know, what about these, you know, these Catholic politicians that they don't act as Catholics? Well, first of all, what about these Catholic clergy that don't act as Catholics? That's an even bigger problem. But we got these Catholic politicians that don't act as Catholics. Do they even believe what they profess? And you know how I approach this? It's really very simple. My first point to them is, I don't care what religion you are. Why are you even bringing it up? I didn't elect you for your religion. First of all, I didn't elect you at all if you're a Democrat. But the point is that the people who voted for you, are they supposed to vote for you because of your religion? Actually, the Constitution says just the opposite. The Constitution says that no religious test for any public office in the United States is allowed. In other words, you don't have to, in order to get into a public office in the United States, whether you're a legislator, a judge, or any public office, there are no religious criteria. You don't have to believe a certain thing, belong to a certain denomination, reject another thing, or reject another denomination. There's no religious test for public office. It's unconstitutional. It's prohibited. That doesn't mean that the people can't be religious. They should be religious. But it means it cannot be a criterion for occupying public office. That's why the Democrats went so off the track in the Senate Judiciary Committee when they were having the confirmation hearings for now Justice Amy Coney Barrett, but not when she went to the Supreme Court, but when she went to the Seventh Circuit Court some years back. And you remember Senator Feinstein, Democrat, saying, oh, it seems the dogma lives loudly within you. And that was a problem, was of concern to her, that the dogma lives loudly within you. Feinstein, got news for you. It shouldn't be a concern for you. It should be of no concern for you at all. That's the point of the Constitution, that there is no religious test for public office. So given that, what I say to people like Biden when he says, oh, I'm Catholic, I take consolation in my rosary, oh, I talk to the Pope. So what? Why do I care about that? If I'm going to consider whether to vote for you or not, I'm not going to take that into account. What are you? Why are you even raising the topic? That your constitutional obligations are laid out in the Constitution, not the Catechism. You have constitutional obligations. I want to know how well you're gonna perform those. I want to know what kind of laws you're gonna pass. Are you gonna protect our borders? Are you gonna let criminal aliens flow in and come into our community and into our streets? You know, talk about accomplishments of the president. This is one of my favorite to mention. You know that there were 500,000 people that he sent back out of this country who were not supposed to be here in the first place, illegal aliens, 500,000 who were criminals, convicted criminals. He sent them back home where they belong, including thousands, not dozens, not hundreds, thousands of violent gang members. I'm going to talk about violence and opposing violence. Why do the Democrats want to let these violent people flow into our country? Enough with the grandstanding and virtue signaling and moral superiority and holier-than-thou attitude of these Democrats. Oh, violence! You want to talk about opposing violence? Build the wall. Why are you people opposed to building the wall? Because has President Trump's name associated with it? You see, they want to make everybody think, oh, well, they're so morally outraged by violence. Now, we all should be. And we don't give any justification or toleration for any kind of violence. But then why are they tolerating it then? By letting violent people just walk across the border, just come on in, everybody. Like the president makes fun of their idea about how to have border security. Say, oh yeah, we don't want to build a wall. We'll use drones. You know, like the president says, yeah, drones, so that you can watch the people just flood into our country. Without any vetting whatsoever. Violent criminals. Now, anybody who knows anything about logic knows full well that to say violent criminals come across our borders when immigration is not regulated does not equal logically to say that we're saying that all immigrants are violent. That's simply a logical fallacy, and you don't know how to think if you're coming to that conclusion or accusing us of saying that. No, we're not saying that. Some people don't know logic, especially those on the Democrat side of the aisle. But the point is, why are they trying to seem so self-righteous as opposing violence in this country while it's President Trump and his policies that are keeping violent people out in the first place, sending them back to their own countries where they came from once they've gotten into our country? And furthermore, this is a fun one to talk about, the catch and release policy. Again, proudly supported by the Democrats. Oh, we're against violence. And then they support this policy, and Biden tried to defend it in the debate. Or he really, boy, oh boy, looked foolish. He says, oh yeah, well, you know, we catch them. This is what they do, catch and release. We catch the criminal, and then we let him go. Just let him go. Oh, come on back in a few years for your court date. You're talking about a person who committed a crime. See, I'm always thinking about these things. I'm saying, well, what's the matter with, sometimes some of you, you're so nice to me and kind, say, oh, wait, more priests should teach and preach like Father Frank. Yeah, where are they? I mean, what's so hard about this? I mean, we're people that we care about right and wrong, right? We care, we teach about morality. And here you got violent people coming into our country. You got a president that's saying the violent gang members, we don't want them walking the neighborhoods where our kids are playing in the park. Get them out of here. Isn't that something that a religious teacher, a moral teacher, a priest should be cheering on, supporting this president for doing that? Well, listen, it's getting late. I so appreciate your comments, your prayers, praying with me, saying the things you say. Keep connected together with one another and with us. If you haven't signed up yet at prolifemaga.com, we have only just begun. The president said it just the other day. We have only just begun to make America great again. We're going to do it together, together with Donald J. Trump, whether he's in the White House or outside the White House. Again, as I've said many times, and I won't be tiring of saying it, he's going to do more good for America each and every day, even when he's not president, than Joe Biden will ever do from inside the White House. Donald J. Trump is the one that knows how to inspire this movement and to help all of us to keep united and to do great things for this country. Shame on the Democrats, shame on the congressional Democrats for this sham impeachment. Once again, they've abused their authority, run roughshod over the Constitution, and turned into a political tool, something that is meant really for the safety of our country and the safety of the people. When there are bad actors in the political office. But the Democrats have taken impeachment and they've cheapened it, politicized it, abused it. Shame on them. And they don't belong in public office. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to govern. They're incapable of governing. And this has got to come to an end. So as you see on the bottom, prolifemaga.com, that's where we're gathering people that want to identify with the MAGA movement, that know that they are pro-life and that want to do things together in the months to come, that first of all, back publicly and proudly Donald J. Trump and his accomplishments. That's what we're about. We're backing him publicly and proudly, and we're going to be educating people about his accomplishments, just like we've been talking here on this program tonight. And secondly, we're going to be working on the elections of 2022 and getting really good, solid Republicans into office. And then we're going to be fighting to defend the accomplishments of the president against the destructive agenda of the Democrats. You want to be part of all this? You are already part of it, so many of you. But sign up at prolifemaga.com so we can keep in touch even more effectively. May the Lord bless you. May he answer all your prayers, protect you and your loved ones, give you his peace and rest, and make you strong defenders of life and of America and of President Trump. May he bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. We will talk to you tomorrow.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.